All right, welcome back to National Board Conversations. I am your host, Danielle Brown, a board-certified teacher here on staff at the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards. And it's been a while. It's actually quite funny. A friend of mine, local to me, was like, who's that teacher you've been talking to? Like, you're following her journey. Kiki's her name. I feel like we haven't heard from her in a while. And then that prompted me to like immediately check my email and be like, wait, like, did we miss a recording? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Lo and behold, it wasn't really us, Kiki. It was something didn't populate on her end. But I just thought it was so serendipitous that this is someone that I know like professionally here in Arizona who has been listening to the podcast, has been listening to your story, and was like, ready for more. So Stacy, if you're listening, here's Kiki's third interview with us.
Yeah, shout out to Stacy.
Yeah, Stacy. Okay, now she's gonna be real hype about this. So with that, let's go ahead and get started, Kiki. It has been a while. I think our last interview was in October.
Yes.
And our plan was to kind of check in like almost every quarter, right? Four episodes. We're kind of watching your journey. And so while it's March, a little bit, you know, more than once a quarter, I'm just so curious, like, what has transpired either professionally for you that's exciting or personally? I mean, we've had lots of breaks in between October and now. There's been holidays and celebrations. And so maybe just some level setting with anything exciting for you that's happened between October and now.
Something that has been super exciting to me is the last week of February, I had a big surprise. I had HEB Buddy come into my classroom and present me a check, $4,000, and I am in the running for a Rising Star Award. So I'm one of five teachers in the state, and my category is for teachers that have been teaching under 10 years. So that was super exciting, and my kids were going wild and crazy because I'm also a diehard for HEB, and I have all the things HEB Buddy, so it was just all excited.
And okay, then, so Kiki, because we're a national podcast, and I've lived in Texas, so I know what HEB is. Can you give our listeners insight into who is HEB, what is HEB, and then the like significance of this?
So HEB is our local grocery store. They're known for here, everything's better. And I love HEB. I think they're wonderful. And they're always giving back to the community. And it's just like a big, like, prestigious award for their excellence in education. And I've always wanted to win this award. 2 years ago, I was a semi-finalist. So to actually be an actual finalist is like a full circle moment. I just kept applying and hoping that I can do this. I can win it one day. And so if I can bring home this award, it'd be the world to me.
Wow. I appreciate so much your tenacity from like, you know, becoming a semi-finalist and not saying, well, I guess that's the end for me, right? But really going after what you want, which, I mean, I'm not surprised. I feel like that's just who you are. In our conversations, I get that energy from you. So on behalf of us, congratulations on top five, and I can't wait to hear the outcome.
Yeah, I'm super excited. In that same week, 2 days before that, I actually won two grants from our education foundation. And so it was a wild week. Everyone joked that no one has ever won three grants in a row in the same week. So it was super cool.
Wow. And this is all at the end of February.
Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing and so exciting for you and your students. And I can't wait again just to see what happens in your next steps. So with that, I know in between October and now, you were at attendance at the, you're going to have to correct me, but it was Texas Teachers, it was a pinning ceremony. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. So our Texas MBCT Coalition put on a huge conference for everyone to be a part of. And I My first time going was last year, and this is my second year going. And it's just so fun to be around people who just are so excited to want to learn and grow in this profession. And I'm starting to make friends with people. There's a guy who sat at my table and was like, hey, I remember you from last year, or I follow you on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, I know exactly who you are too. So it's just that thrill and excitement of being around so many powerful educators in one room.
So how does like being in spaces like that, do you feel impacts you either in your practice or on your journey to board certification? I mean, you're around, I'm assuming educators are already board certified, newly board certified, maybe people who are curious about the process. I'm wondering, like, what does that energy do for you as you think about, okay, I have like writing to do still, or forms to collect? Like, what does that do for you being in those spaces?
It inspires me to want to keep going and keep pushing through. And just hearing people's different perspectives on how they finish certain components and hearing every person's advice is like, yeah, this is, I know exactly what you're going through. You know, everything is relatable to one another. And I have friends who just did their maintenance of certification. So seeing them like continue the journey as well. And one of my friends in our cohort, she just got certified. So seeing the joy and happiness in her face is like, I want that. And I want to keep going till I, you know, I'm very driven. I want the best for myself and for my career. And it's just really cool. I just really enjoy it and happy for everyone who pours their heart and soul to making this conference happen.
So it is wild to think that we're in the last, at the time of this recording at least, the last week of March. I felt like January was, I don't know, 2 days ago. We're creeping into April. And as we both know, whether it's on your calendar, a countdown just on the top of mind, April 1st, submission windows open, right? And so you're in this process, you're getting closer and closer to submission. Before we even think about what that will feel like or even steps that you'll take, I'm curious, from October to March, what are some changes you've either noticed in your teaching practice, now that you've probably like deeply engaged in writing, anything that you've noticed that's changed, things that you've even refined?
I'm very more intentional with how I say certain words or even feedback, especially after a reflection. When you write your reflection piece, I'm thinking, oh man, I need to be more elaborate, and I'm not a very specific person. And so being more detail oriented has helped me with my kids and giving them like the understanding of, this is why we're doing this, and this is why I like to tell them, this is what Miss Powell needs to accomplish for you to be successful in third grade. And so like hearing those tidbits and ensuring them that they are going to have a good education and that they're going to be doing great things soon. And I want to continue to build them up and just allow them to grow and shine, because every kid has the power to just be amazing. They just need that person to instill that in them.
So Kiki, you fell into this trap that I didn't intend to set. I feel like you kind of set it for yourself, but you said like this magic word that has been sitting with me professionally and personally and in other endeavors that I engage in, and it's feedback. You were sharing how you feel like your feedback is getting stronger. You're refining it, especially as you give it to students. What were some ways that you felt you had to grow in that area? Because I think that's a space that oftentimes many educators feel the need to grow, right? To be more specific, to make it more actionable. What are things that you did to help you expand your knowledge there or feel stronger in that piece?
From specifically my national board writing, my mentor, Wendy, is awesome. She'll tell me, like, you need more here, Kiki. Like, she knows how to pinpoint my brain and ask me those guiding questions to get it out of me. And I really appreciate it. And she always says, you know, don't take anything I say personal. And I always tell her, trust me, I am not. I need all the help I can get, and I'm here for it. And I just love that she just keeps pushing me, and it's allowing me to continue to grow. And then in class, a lot of the people come and watch me teach, and they come in my classroom and stuff. And so I'm always like, hey, what do you see? Like, what do you like? What do you don't like? Sometimes I feel like I can be too harsh. And when I, with my students, if I say something not the right way, and because we always talk about being kind, they're like, you didn't say that with love. And so, you know, they're second grade, they call you out for anything. And so I really just appreciate anyone who steps in my room and just wants to help out in any type of way.
You gotta love the authenticity and transparency of, I feel like, elementary school kids in general, but I feel like when like they're 10 and younger, the filter that we learn to put up as we get older, they don't really have it.
No, they don't.
They're just like, oh, you want the truth? I got you. Let me call you in, Miss Powell. Let me tell you how I'm really feeling about how you just provided me with that feedback.
Oh, yes. If something is slightly different about me, they'll ask me questions about it. I've never seen that dress before. When did you get it? Where did you buy it? And I'm like, this is great, because this is literally like elaborating when you're trying to tell a story or when you're trying to write on your paper.
Look at you. Always a teachable moment. I love that. I love that.
It's funny.
So we have to talk about the elephant in the room. April 1st is coming, which is when submission opens. And by the time this airs, it most likely would have already opened. And then you have until May 18th to submit whatever components you're working on. I'm curious if you at this point have like thought about, you know, what's your plan for submission? Do you have a self-imposed deadline? Are you taking submission in steps? Like, are you going to upload one thing and let it rest for a bit and go back and upload something else? I'm just so curious how you're engaging in like submission planning as the school year ramps up. Spring breaks are over. Like, there's a lot to juggle around submission time.
Yes, I have a countdown in my brain, and every day I'm like, I need to critique this. This needs to be done today. I need to send Wendy this. And so I'm almost done with component two. And I, looking at it, I'm like, why didn't I start component two so much sooner? But, you know, it is what it is. I have all the evidence throughout the whole year. I think that was my mindset. I was thinking I was collecting my writing samples all year. I have all my evidence for me to make me feel successful with it. And my goal is to submit component two anytime in April, just because when you have that one thing off your plate, you're excited and you can just check it off and get that completed. And my goal was to have my mentor look over it one more time, and then my PLF with Dr. Esme, and then be like, all right, this one is done. Now for component four. And I honestly feel like component four is going to take me until like May 16th. My goal is not to submit on the last day, but like 2 days before I can do.
I so appreciate your honesty. I sometimes have conversations even with like my peers, and they're like, yeah, it opens, you know, April 1st. I'm there. I'm going to submit. And then we'll have conversations later, and they're like, yeah, maybe May 1st. And I'm like, you have a window for a reason, right? Okay. Even how, you're extending yourself grace by saying, you know, sometime in April, I'm going to submit component to you, so that you're not like sitting down at crunch time and you've set this goal of April 15th and you're not ready. So yeah. I appreciate how you're building in grace for yourself in that way. And then also not trying to make your timeline the same for both components. And again, just your honesty that like, if it's 2 days before submission, that's still a win in my book, which yes. I love that for you.
Most definitely.
So, okay, we go through, you've been in this process, you've been collecting evidence, seeking feedback. On top of all this, right, your normal teaching duties, your extracurriculars, these grants that you're winning left and right, and yet you're going to take some time to kind of like savor the moment, I hope, of like what submission feels like and means to you. And so I'm curious, do you have any plans to celebrate submission? I just feel like that's so important.
I knowing me, like, my go-to happiness is, like, eating a cheeseburger. Because that's, like, my favorite food. I'll probably just go celebrate and have a burger. But I'll probably most celebrate in the summer. Because I have a lot of trips planned. And so just being able to rest my brain and not think about what type of writing I have to do is going to be so essential. But I'm also very excited that, you know, after having two submissions in, I know exactly what I need to do this coming school year to get everything that I need done for three, component three and component one. So that's a good feeling for me to know that I have a plan going forward. And, you know, once you do one component of writing, you're like, I got this. I know what I'm doing now. I got it.
No, I totally agree with that. And I love that you're going to celebrate in a way that makes sense to you. So enjoy that delicious cheeseburger upon clicking submit, whether it's for both or just, you know, one at a time. And I think it's so important how you stated that you're going to spend a little bit of your time this summer not thinking about your writing necessarily, either one after it's been submitted or two for the work that you have to put in for components three. And one, why is that a choice that you're making instead of saying, okay, time to get right back to it? I think that would be helpful for the audience to hear.
I do a lot of work behind the scenes. I definitely do a lot with my social media, and I do a lot of collaborations with people. And so I do a lot of work during the week. And so it's, I work hard to not have to work on the weekends if I don't have to. And it's just summer is the one time when I don't have to feel sometimes forced to do some work. As teachers, we feel like we always have to do something all the time and we cannot sit still. I don't know if every teacher feels like that, but I feel like a lot of teachers at my school are that way. They're always doing something really cool and creative. And I'm like, what am I doing right now? I need to keep up. And so just taking that time for my own mental health and being fresh and ready when the school year picks up will be good.
So with that being said, I actually have a follow-up question. Spring break has already happened for you, correct?
Yes.
So tell me, how did you spend your spring break? Were you writing for your components? Were you taking a break? What was that balance like for you?
The first weekend I spent with my parents and I just enjoyed, have fun. It was my, we celebrated my mom's birthday because all my family came into town. So that was great. And then Monday and Tuesday, I actually ended up spending 2 days of just writing. And it was great because I'm a morning person. So if I write first thing in the morning, I'm thriving. And so I was able to knock out what I had accomplished. I can't do a whole lot in a whole day because I need to chunk things. I'm such a teacher. I have to chunk it. And so when I email Wendy, I'll say, hey, I answered these two questions. Tell me what you think I should fix. And then I'll fix it. And then I'll keep moving forward. And then my next door neighbor reached out to me and she was like, hey, let's go to SeaWorld. And so she's a teacher too. And SeaWorld has free teacher season passes. So we went and took her son to SeaWorld. And then I just spent more time with family. So I didn't have to give up my whole spring break, but it was nice to just have that whole day break to just knock out some writing and not feel so stressed about it.
That's amazing. And again, just like the reality of taking time to balance your engagement in this process, but also just living life, as you were talking about, like sometimes it's hard to kind of just like be still and you see people creating or being innovative and doing all these things. And you're like, what am I doing? And my answer to that is always, I'm being, and that's okay, right? It's okay to just be sometimes. Yes. A human being, not always a human doing. I have to remind myself of that sometimes.
Yes, totally agree.
So, Kiki, I would like to end this conversation in a way that we haven't ended it before, almost like a Dear Kiki letter, if you will. The next time we're going to connect, the next time we'll connect will be post-submission. So we're going to give you that space and time to engage and dive in and click submit. So with that being said, if you could do... Uh-oh, looks like we're not connecting. if you could do a verbal Dear Future Kiki letter, what would you tell yourself or hope for yourself?
My Dear Future Kiki letter would state to relax more and not stress over the different guidelines that I set for myself, and to just be grateful to have finished the process and to be thankful for all the people that has helped me along the way, because it takes a village to help a bunch of teachers to continue and want to keep growing and wanting to just enjoy all the fun things that teaching brings.
Oh, I think that is so beautiful. And so, Kiki, we will check in after submission. We'll make sure that there's not too much of a lull between hearing about the exciting things in your world. So, you know, my friends will have to be like, hey, Danielle, what happened to the next podcast episode? We're going to be ahead of Stacey this time.
Yes.
Well, it'll Kiki, be good. We appreciate you so much. Best of luck on submission. Best of luck on your impending award top five. There's just so much going on for you, and we can't wait to celebrate you either way.
Yay, thank you so much. I'm always excited.
Yeah, have a good one.